It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome back, boys and girls. It's good to have everybody here. It's good to, January is one of those, for lack of better terms, it's one of those milestones, triggers, maybe that's a better word, right? That now is the time to start over and reset and reboot, and I think that's fine. Of course, the reality is we can do that any time we want, but there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, come January, I'm going to do this, that, or the other thing. Now, historically speaking, the statistics have us that that 85%, it's some huge number, 85% of people who set a New Year's resolution have chickened out or have forgotten about them by the 20th of January. Now, I know that's not you because, you know, you're a mover, you're a shaker. But I get asked all the time, Bert, how can that be true? How is that statistic real? Well, because we're human and we forget. And yes, I know people say, well, if it's that important, they wouldn't forget that resolution or that goal. But guess what? That's not true. We forget court dates, anniversary, birth dates. We forget even flights. So it's just, you know, we get so distracted. We're so bombarded with all these different things that we forget. And one of the best ways to overcome that forgetfulness when it comes to your resolutions or your goals is to write them down every day. So yeah, if you have 5 or 10 goals, write them down every day. That will help you recommit, stay focused, and keep them top of mind. All right, the quote of the day is by Mahatma Gandhi. Be the change you want to see in the world. Be the change that you want to see in the world, Mahatma Gandhi. And all right, so let's get this party started. My guest today, also a regular contributor, Norm Blumenthal. Norm Blumenthal is a lawyer for workers and consumers, selected as one of the top lawyers in Southern California. In 2017, Norm was inducted and recognized as one of America's most trusted lawyers in employment law. Norm Blumenthal is a regular contributor here on Money for Lunch. Norm, welcome back.
Thanks, Bert. Happy New Year to you and everybody in our audience. And I want to say that we're here for Money for Lunch to put more money in workers' pockets in America. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we get up every day here. And we want to be the change out in California. And it's all happening in California. The workers here, we got laws putting in $15 an hour, minimum wage. We got laws strengthening our overtime laws. You can't work overtime without being paid. And this is what it's all about. And California is prospering. We're the fifth largest economy in the world and getting bigger. So how do we make it happen for the rest of America? That's what we need to talk about today. And first of all, in that regard, we want to tip our hats to Speaker Pelosi. She refused to give in to blackmail from an extortionist. This is what that was all about. He took workers, 800,000 workers and their families, and denied them pay. I mean, if anybody out there now thinks that Trump cares a hoot about workers in America, you are just, unfortunately, felony stupid, because you have no idea that in your right mind that he cares a hoot about you or any other worker in America. He doesn't care about the federal workers in America. 30-some-odd days, he denied them pay. And not until it was going to affect his flights of his friends out of LaGuardia Airport did he end this. And it was a beautiful thing that Speaker Pelosi did. And think twice before you vote for any Republican, too, because the Republicans in the Senate and most of them in the House were right there with him, keeping these people out of work. Trump, you know, he learned a big lesson. He thought he was a dictator. He thought he could rule this country and tell Congress what to do. And he just found out he's living in a democracy, and there's three branches of government, and he's not going to be able to rule like this. But, you know, the issue is, and the issue that should have been separately decided now that we're back at work, and I don't think we're ever going to see another shutdown out of this president. I mean, that he'd have to go into the ranks of felony stupid if he did that again, because he should have learned his lesson. His ratings went down. His popularity is in the trash. He's exposed himself to be pro-management up and down, doesn't care about workers and doesn't care about your salary and doesn't care about how much you're going to make. He's only interested in protecting the rich and the wealthy and the powerful.
All right, so let me ask you this. I'm going to play devil's advocate with you, okay?
Sure.
Because, you know, his whole thing was, hey, I want to protect America. I want to resurrect this wall so I can protect America, and I'm not going to, fund the government until I get the $50 billion that I need to protect America. What is your take on this?
Yeah, it was $5 billion, not 50, but my
oh,
take
$5 billion.
On it is,
you're right. Thank you.
Yeah, my take on it is very clear. These are two separate items. Funding the workers of America so they can do their job in government, you know, across the board, 800,000 of them, is totally separate from the immigration issue. And what he tried to do was blackmail Congress and say, if you don't do exactly what I want with immigration, then I'm going to shut down the government. And Speaker Pelosi and the Democrats, to their credit, said we're not going to give in to blackmail, because if they would have given in to blackmail in this situation, then they would have had to give in to blackmail for Obamacare, and people would have lost their health insurance with pre-existing conditions. You would have ended up with no Planned Parenthood. You would have ended up with a situation where everything he wanted to get through, he would just say, I'm going to blackmail you. That's why the policy's always been in police work and in government work across the board is you cannot give in to blackmail. You must hold out, just like they have hostages. He took hostages of our American workers, and we got them all released, and we got all their back pay, and he learned a valuable lesson. And the lesson is you can't put the two issues together. Now,
I want to say this. This is the part that I thought was so funny. So he wants the $5 billion for to protect America, and he's going to do this by taking by shutting down our government. And even though it was quote a partial shutdown, there were people in Homeland Security that could no longer who could no longer show up to work. We had a lot of TSA individuals who their way of life was threatened, and because they weren't getting paid, and yet they were being mandated to show up. But you know what? When you can't pay your mortgage and you can't feed your family, it's very difficult to be focused on your job. So, in an effort to protect America, he really put America at risk for, I don't know, at least 30 days, you know, or you know,
over
it's
30.
Just, I just thought that was kind of crazy.
It was crazy, and it made no sense. The man is not 100%. So let's start there. And he's doing things off the cuff that are frightening for America. You know, the idea of taking America out of NATO. This is 70 years of peace in Europe. I don't think they've had a sustained 70 years of peace that I can remember in history over a period of time throughout all of Europe. But that's what we've had because of NATO, because the Russians know that they can't attack Western Europe, because if they do, they're looking at down the tubes of major nuclear annihilation. And as long as they know that, they aren't going to go into these countries nearby. But to get take America out of NATO, that's just playing into to Putin's hand. So this is the kind of things that scare me with this president, what he's doing. But the immigration issue, Bert, I think we need there's a way to fix that. And there's a way to fix it that works. And if you follow it, what we've seen now is in Mexico, because the Mexicans aren't, for the most part now, the people that are coming over. They have, you know, decent jobs in Mexico, and they're staying there. What we're seeing, for the most part, of people coming across, you know, the onesies and twosies in any event, actually walking across the border, is they're coming from, you know, asylum areas, Guatemala, Honduras, down in Central America. Now, the idea is with immigration is in Mexico now, before they get into Mexico, they're taking their ID. They know who they are. They get to Mexico, and the new president of Mexico now, he is now with the United States. They're processed at the border as an asylum seeker, and they stay in Mexico. And the idea is we should be able to support that with temporary housing on the Mexican side of the border, food for them, make sure they have good living conditions, and not separate families. At the same time, part of it has to be all the families that have been separated in the United States on the screwed-up system that we had, it have to be reunited. Because there's nothing worse than taking a child away from their family. I mean, I can't think of anything worse in the world than doing that. And that's what's happening. So we got to end that, and we got to keep the families together, and we got to process these people. Some are legitimate asylum seekers, and some aren't. But the legitimate ones should be allowed entry under the law as it is. And the idea of building a medieval wall across no man's lands in Texas is just the silliest thing. What we have now is what are called strategic barriers. The immigrants, the illegal immigrants that come into this country, 90%+ of them come in tourist visas, student visas, work permits, and overstay the time that they're supposed to be here. They come in on boats and planes legally in cars across the border and then overstay their welcome. Now, the ones that are trying to come in, the onesies and twosies, I call them, around the barriers, what we do, like in San Diego, where I live, is we have strategic barriers out from the ports of entry. And those strategic barriers funnel the ones that try to walk around right into the hands of the Border Patrol. Those are smart barriers. That's what we have in San Diego. And at the same time, we have a vibrant cross-border economy, and you can't stop that. There's a tremendous amount of money going both ways that feed and support a lot of people. And you can't stop that. You can't close your borders. You can't build walls. Now, how to handle the very small percentage of people that are trying to cross illegally, not at the port of entries, not overstaying their visa, but the onesies and twosies, there is now satellites in the air that can be used that take continuous pictures of areas. These satellites are so refined now that literally they can take a picture of something the size of your fist on the ground. So they certainly are able to pick up people. And again, if you have more border agents in areas and see them, you can pick these people up coming across illegally and process those persons who are not a lot of people. You know, Trump is trying to make much to do about nothing. The people crossing illegally around the borders has dropped precipitously over the years, and it's just nothing like it used to be because they're not coming in that way. They realize that it's not working. And so these scare tactics don't work. So what do you do with the 11 million people that are already here? That's really the elephant in the room, Bern. You know, we have 11 million people who are not citizens, who are part of families and working in the United States. So what do we do with those people? That's really the issue. And the idea that you're going to kick out 11 million people, you know, that'll destroy the economy for sure. So the idea is if they're already working, process them and give them work permits. And
right.
At the same, you know, that's the whole idea is keep them working. I mean, they're making money. Let's have them pay some taxes instead of being in an underground economy, and set up what we've talked about many times is the E-Verify system. The E-Verify system means that you can't work in this country unless you are in the Federal Register as a admitted worker in this country, getting a green card or a citizen, as the case may be, that you're entitled to be in this country and therefore entitled to work. That's the idea. That's what we need to spend our money on. So it's not a system that doesn't have answers. It's just it's been so become a political football in Washington, and the problem is that they're afraid of E-Verify because management doesn't want E-Verify. That's really the elephant in the room. They don't want E-Verify because they want to hire workers under minimum wage, off the books, cash workers, where they don't have to pay, you know, employer share of payroll taxes and other types of taxes, and they can pay them, you know, wages that are not equal to minimum wage. That's our problem. That's really the issue. And so,
right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, the E-Verify system, and for those who are not clear what the E-Verify system is, when you hire an employee, doesn't matter where they're from, doesn't matter, you know, what they look like, you have to go through this process and you have to verify that they are legally allowed to work. Whether they're a U.S. citizen or not, you still have to use the E-Verify system. The challenge and what you're talking about is that a lot of employers simply skip the E-Verify process. And this is very common in places like, well, let's say Arizona has multiple border towns. And you know, you're looking at a mom and pop type of scenario, or maybe a company that, as you said, maybe wants to take advantage of not paying these individuals a decent wage, or maybe they don't want to be responsible for the insurance, the workers' comp, stuff like that. So they don't E-Verify and they kind of cheat the system a little bit. And that's why you have, you know, 11, 12 million immigrants, because they're able to make money here. They're able to stay here and take care of what they need to take care of. If they couldn't take care of, if they couldn't make money here, they would leave.
Yeah, the E-Verify system, to be clear, it exists. It's in place. It costs a couple hundred million dollars to put in place, but it's optional. So now if you go to work and you go to work for you know, Mar-a-Lago for Trump, or you know, another hotel, or go to work in agriculture, you just have to fill out what's called a U-9 and use somebody's name that you may know who has a social security number that actually has a work permit or is a citizen, and you just work under their name because it's not verified in a federal system. And once we make E-Verify mandatory, and the reason it's not mandatory, it's not because of the mom-and-pop shops. It's because of all the major hotel chains and agricultural industry in this country. They don't want it. Because if they had it, a lot of their workers, they'd have to pay their workers the legal wage. And it would eat, right. You know, basically even the playing field, and they don't want it. You know, fine, I'm happy to pay a little bit more for something knowing that the person that's doing the work is getting paid the correct wage. I mean, that's fair. And we want it to be fair, and we want to even the playing field for everybody out there that plays by the rules. They should be treated any less fairly than those who don't, because they're not enforcing those who don't. So that's the real concept of E-Verify, and that's something that can be fixed if Congress wants to fix it, but you won't hear it. You know, you're only going to hear it on this show. You're only going to hear about E-Verify. You're not going to hear about it on any show from the right to the left, from Fox News to MSNBC. No one will talk about it because they wouldn't have any sponsors on any of their shows, because most of them, one way or another, end up using personnel that aren't legally entitled to be in this country, one way or another. They can't right. make the beds in the hotels. They can't pick the fruit. They can't wash the dishes. And they can't bust the tables without having persons who are here, who are not citizens, who are here and overstay their stay and don't have a work permit. And I'm not saying we have to be citizens. There's a big difference between making them citizens and giving them work permits. All these DACA people that have been here so long, give them work permits. They have a job. And if they get in trouble, kick them out. But you can't just kick people out because they came in illegally, because there's 11 million of them. You got to start from scratch and get everybody in the system first. But you're not going to hear that anywhere but here, Bert.
Well, and here's the deal. This is to me such a simple – I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's a simple step. If you allow everybody to get into the system, now we know who they are, and we're going to have some idea of where they're at, it's going to make it easier for everybody. And there's nothing wrong, as you said, give them a work permit. If they misbehave, you kick them out. The work permit doesn't mean that they're going to be given citizenship. And because the fear is removed, these people now are going to be taxpaying workers. They can go out there and buy insurance for their vehicles. They can start paying more into the economy, and it's a win-win for everybody, because now the U.S. knows who they are. They know where they're at. They're paying into the system, you know, and from there they can start to figure out what the next step is. But worst case scenario, if you took everybody that was undocumented right now and gave them work permits, there would absolutely be no change to the economy. Nobody would be hurt. Employers would be happy. The workers would be happier, because now they have choices. They can say, hey, if you're not going to pay me what you're supposed to pay me, then I'm going to go someplace else because I have a work permit. So it really makes the system better.
Right. It makes it, and what's happening now in California, a lot of other states have already done this, and California is reluctantly going to be one of the last. It's going to be required by April of 2020, which is called a Real ID. And I'm going in actually next month to do it myself. You got to go into the DMV in the state of California, everybody who's a citizen. You got to bring in your passport or your birth certificate. You got to bring in two pieces of evidencing where you live, that you're a resident of California. And you have to bring this in, and that you are who you say you are, something with your Social Security number on it. And you got to bring that in, and then they give you a new driver's license, which is called a Real ID. By April of 2020 in this country, you will not be able to get on an airplane without a passport or a Real ID. So everybody, they're already getting to know who every citizen is, because they're going to know it through this Real ID by 2020. And so now the process is, well, what about the people that are here who aren't citizens? We got to know who they are. So how do we do that? And the only way to do it is through this E-Verify system and work permits. So we know exactly who they are and where they are. And so if they have a family, the kids can go to school, and you know, everybody can be here and be comfortable that they're not going to get arrested in the middle of the night for you know, and lose their job and their family, lose their income because of the fact that they may have come into this country illegally. And it's not to say they are entitled to become citizens or vote. It's just to say that we need them. We need them to work. We need them to make money. We need them to spend money to get this economy going. The economy is flat because of the fear that everybody has that they're, you know, going to get kicked out. And part of this system, just to throw out an idea, and no one else will talk about either, is part of this system, if you want to stay in this country on a work permit and you're not a citizen, then part of the agreement you have to make is you have to waive your Second Amendment rights to have a gun.
Ooh,
so
like
we can take a lot of guns off the street without violating Second Amendment rights because they waive them, and such that if you're in this country and you want a work permit, part of the agreement in getting that work permit is you cannot have a gun. So that's at least 11 million less guns on the street. And so if people are worried about illegal immigrants, like Trump tries to make them so afraid they're going to run and come into your house, whatever this other nonsense he does, well, here's something that the crazy people should like too, is that comfort that knowing that they can't go into a store and buy a gun because they are working on a work permit, they can't have proof, they don't have proof of citizenship. So that's something that I throw out that can work in unison with it, because this idea of people, crazy people having guns and people that shouldn't have them having them has got to stop. So the less guns on the street, I think the safer we'll all be at the end of the day. So that's the other thing that we want to take care of. But at the end of the day, Bert, this is something that workers out there have to realize, that Trump is not on their side. And the Republicans in Congress are not on their side. And so what they want to do is they've got to be ready to vote and vote for people that are going to be on their side when the time comes. And in the meantime, there's a fellow out there running, Howard Schultz. I don't know if you ever heard of Howard Schultz. Have you heard of Howard Schultz?
Certainly. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the, he's the founder of Starbucks.
Absolutely.
And he has decided, that his ego is going to take him to places where other people haven't gone, like Ross Perot. And he's going to run as an independent for Congress, well, for president. And this is a terrible thing, because this is the idea that splits votes and gets people elected that may or may not would have gotten a majority of the votes, or majority of the votes to be entitled to become president. And it's happened before where Bush didn't get in when Perot came and got 10% in the Clinton election. Clinton was elected, and Ralph Nader did it and put Bush Jr. in office in that election. And more recently, Jill Stein and this guy Johnson, they helped put Trump in office with getting less than 5% of the vote. So I'm going to just call out for people out there, you can vote with your lattes now. So before you go to Starbucks, don't. Buy your latte at some of the other coffee houses, Pete's, or the other places, and don't pick Starbucks. And if there's a little bit of a boycott of Howard Schultz's Starbucks, and if it hits him in his pocketbook, maybe he'll realize that this idea of running as an independent is not a good one. Join a party, Democrat, Republican, whatever you want to be, but not a third party. A third party has allowed in the past, in the parliamentary system, people like Hitler to get to power. And the idea of allowing Trump to be reelected because of a third-party candidate is anathema to what we want to have happen to get someone into office as a Democrat that's going to support workers in this country. And that's really what's important.
Well, Norm, it's always good to have you on the show. I fell in love with Norman when this is many years ago when he came on, and the phrase that he coined was "Don't be felony stupid." And you know, one of the great things I like about you is that, you know, you say it how it is, and you're able to back it up. You always have a plan, or you have some stats. And as always, my friend, it's good to have you here. It's good to have you chime in, and looking forward to having you back again soon.
Right. And so, you know, workers of America, unite. Let's everybody get a raise. And that's what Money for Lunch is all about. We bring out these ideas that can help you when you get together and we work together for everybody to make more money for you and your families, not for the boss.
I love it. I love it. Norm Blumenthal, thank you so much for stopping by. We'll have you back soon, my friend.
Thanks, Bert. Take care.
Good stuff there from Norm Blumenthal. Norm Blumenthal is a lawyer for workers and consumers. As you can tell, he's very passionate about protecting workers, protecting consumers. He has devoted his life to doing that, and he's made some laws possible there in California, and always good to have him on the show. As always, my friends, let's share this episode with everybody we know. Let's maybe think about different ways to spend our money other than on a wall. And let's see what we can do to, take advantage of the people that are already here by giving them a worker's permit, so we can start tracking them so they can be part of the tax-paying system, so everybody can win on that. As always, my friends, thank you so much for being here. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch, and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.